Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you, Lord, for this moment. Coming together once again, Lord, before you. And to remember the ordinance set before us, O Lord, and to fulfill it. And now, Father, as we come together in this manner, just to have a little understanding of thy word, Lord. We pray, Father, you stir our hearts, Father. You stir our hearts. And raise up our spirit, Lord, and raise up our faith, Father. To believe all things are possible to them to believe. There are all things, O Lord, all promises in thy book is ours to keep, Father, ours to claim. So we thank you tonight, Father, as you approach thy word, not just a little nugget, a little revelation, Father, that you will hit it us upon us, that we can come to see the like of it. In this hour, Lord, when there is a world full of darkness, where there is so much, O Lord, confusion, Lord. There's a lot of travailing going on in this earth and in the life of many people. Lord, we pray, as the Bible says, when seeds abound, oh, thy word, thy grace will do much more abundantly in the life of your people. So, Father, bless them, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you were just want to talk a little bit about divine healing, because we finished off last few weeks on the cross from Gethsemane to Calvary, and we need to understand all things are made possible because of what Christ did for us on Calvary. Amen? Yeah. So in the cross of Christ, we glory, as Paul said. In the cross of Christ, I glory. All that he had committed, all that he had done, all the work that, you know, the Father have spoken and prophesied of about him, they were all fulfilled at Calvary. As far as life is concerned, I want you to know that if you treasure life. Amen. Let us go to this passage of scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 11. We know that what Christ has accomplished according to the book of Isaiah. While Isaiah prophesied that with his stripes, we are healed. With his stripes, we are healed. Now we know that denomination have taken that verse and said that with his stripes we are healed physically. No, with his stripes we are not healed physically. With his stripes we are healed spiritually. Because as I said this many times, God works from inside out. It doesn't work on your outside. But the sad fact is that lots of people are looking to God for miracles, for an outside thing in their life. Our charismaticism says God is a multi-millionaire, billionaire, whatever. And what are you poor? The reason you're poor is because you don't give it to God. Because the Bible said if you give to God more, it will be given to you, so give. And they preached the gospel of prosperity. They preached that trying to stir you up to work harder. And preacher get more money because of the tithes they're giving to them. You know, God is not in the business of making people comfortable. Is that God's business, making you comfortable? Then it is so that we shouldn't be singing that song, "It's not an easy road." Then Jesus would not have said, "Pick up thy cross and follow me." Is that right?
Yeah.
And he said, I send you out among wolves. So, and you'll be hated for my name's sake. So many times people are like, well, we know God is good. But at the same time, God is bad. Uh-oh, brother, what are you saying? Did not the Bible said, I, the Lord, created both good and evil. Is that right? Well, he allows certain bad things to come. Well, he has reason. So when we look at this passage of 2 Corinthians chapter 20, chapter 12, Brother Henry, will you read it loud and clear, please? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 11.
2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 11. Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I have become a fool in boasting. You have compelled me. For I ought to have been commanded by you. For in nothing was I behind the most eminent apostle, though I am nothing.
Right. You know, sometimes you wonder whether Paul is a little mad of himself, you know. You know, sometimes we wonder when people are preaching, I mean preachers, sometimes they act a bit strange. Here we have a Paul's record. I mean, he was a faith healer. Just like Brother Branham. He was a faith healer. But here, he suffered from this problem in the eye. You know, the pain that comes so often that it bothers him. And so much so in some places of the other epistle he wrote, and people wondering, was he really saying literally? Or was he implying something else? Let me just bring you to the place over in Galatians chapter 4:15. I know you and I know that the most important organ in your body, the five senses, not your organs, sorry, I would say the most important senses in the body, what is it? The sight. And here God was dealing with this man here. Look at what he says in Galatians 4:15. Read it. Somebody read it, you find?
And then was the blessing you enjoyed. For I bear you witness that, if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me.
So, what did Paul talk about plucking your eyes and give it to me? It has something to do with his eyes. And we know it to be so because God dealt with him when he was a zealous Pharisee on the way to Damascus, going out to find the people of the way to bring them to judgment. When God met him on the way, the Bible said the light was so brighter than the sun, his eyes was blinded. And he couldn't see. Then he was brought to Ananias, the prophet, to pray for him. And even Ananias was kind of surprised. He said, Lord, this man is he prosecuted believers. You know? And the Lord told him he had a job for him to do. So when his eye was healed and he could see, But Paul had this problem. I don't know. He didn't say just one eye, but I believe it's two eyes. That the pain will come ever so often. But the reason we know Paul said was to keep him humble. Now go to another verse here in Galatians chapter 6 verse 11. And you wonder whether that was what Paul was saying, but I think that there might be a double meaning in some of these verses here to give a hint to look at two angles. Alright, Galatians chapter 6 verse 11.
Ye see how larger a letter I have written unto you with my own hand.
Right. Paul said, you see how large a letter I wrote with my own hand. Now actually we know that Paul usually had a scribe to write for him. He would dictate and he would write. But sometimes he would write. And apparently you know, if you really cannot see well, or you cannot write properly because your eyesight is no good, you will ask somebody to write for you. But in this case, he said, you see how big a letter I write for you? I write. Was he referring to the size of the epistle, the length of the epistle of Galatians, which will be, well, longer than most of the other except for Corinthians? That's really called a lengthy epistle letter. Or was he referring to the letter, the alphabet? Because he couldn't see in his letter, he wrote kind of big. Now we know that this is Paul. And we know that God had a reason for that. But the other problem is, why did not God heal him? Well, we know the reason is given that because Paul said, if God suddenly has a what they call the messenger to buffer me, you know, so to keep me humble, so less in that I get all the revelation that God has given me, I get puffed up. So God is keeping him humble. But I guess I believe that Paul at times get a little puffed up, because many times if you read this epistle, you can see he boasts many times. But his boasting were true, because they are scripturally true. And he dared to say it. If there's any one of you here among you who think he is a prophet, let him take heed to the word that I speak there from God. You got it? Wow. You know, just think about somebody standing today and tell you the truth, that the thing that is, the revelation he had received was from God, and what would you believe? That's why this letter that I'm writing to the brother, you know, he was criticizing me for teaching the sin of Ham and saying that, because Brother Branham never teaches. And the sin of Ham being incest is where? There's no scripture basis for that. It has no foundation. Because Brother Branham didn't teach it. So if Brother Branham didn't teach it, anybody else teaching it must be false teacher. It's the same up there with denomination. People find it very hard to believe that the sin of mankind was caused not by Eve eating the fruit of a tree. Whether it's an apple or a passion fruit, as some people like to call it, because it's for the passion. It's nothing to do with the fruit tree. And to tell them that it was fornication with a serpent, oh my, the mind just jumped to an animal, and how could a woman have sex with an animal? So you people are really dirty minded. But you see, because you are so much into tradition, in darkness, but the Bible said, this is the message. God is light, in Him is no darkness. Tradition is darkness, because it binds you, it holds you. And if you find out how to get out of it, isn't it true? You know. And so to tell you what happened in the garden, the real fact, it's just too hard to believe. And I told this believer, and I said, and I tell you, the Brother Bram believed that the sin of Ham is actually incestuous act with the mother. You won't believe it. Or even in another preacher who knows Brother Bram, Brother Jackson, you told me that. Brother Bram told him that. But Brother Bram never taught it, neither did he teach it. You know. So does it mean the sin of Ham being an incestuous act with the mother is false? You see, that is really what the problem really is. So when we look into the scripture, we need to understand what the Bible says. Now, think this for this moment of Paul being a Pharisee and then came to the gospel and God called him to preach and give him so many revelations. Sure, he said, shut up. But that's when God kept him humble. And he said, I prayed 3 times for God to remove that. But God denied me that healing. Painful. And then there was another preacher in the Bible, and that was Timothy. Now Timothy had this problem. When he stays at home, when he is in home city, he had no problem with stomach. But whenever he traveled to certain place to preach, when he went on missionary trip, that's when he got this problem. The stomach giving him so much problem. And Paul prayed for him. And he was fatula. Sometimes we call that problem was called fatula. But Paul couldn't heal him. Why? Because it wasn't Paul who healed him. Paul wasn't the healer, actually. People call Paul the healer, or Brother Abraham the healer. But they are not the healer. It is God that healed. It's God that healed. You know. And people are just looking to man because people want the contact. That's why God gives to whomever He will. But one of the most important things that God wants to give to each individual one of us is a revelation. You understand what I'm saying? Let's go to the Bible here in this verse of Romans chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. I want you to see what it says in this passage and also in Titus, the first chapter. But go to Romans chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, and read it. Yes, Brother Luke.
What advantage then have the Jews? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much have we made, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall the unbelief make the faith of God without effect?
Okay. The word phrase I want you to see is this. The faith of God. Right? Paul is asking what advantage of the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Well, much in every way, chiefly because then unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Does their unbelief make the faith of God no effect? the faith of God, not the faith in God. Go to Titus chapter 1, 1 to 3. Titus. Don't pronounce Titus. Okay? It is Titus. I know some people pronounce it very strangely with Titus. I don't know how to get a Titus.
If you pronounce it the Asian way.
Perhaps that's true. Okay, Brother Luke. Titus chapter 1, verse 1 to 3.
Paul, a servant of God, the apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the knowledge of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but have in new times manifested this word through preaching, which is committed unto me, according to the commandment of God, our Savior.
Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God. Faith of God, according to the faith of God. Now, the thing is, I want you to understand is, when you talk about the faith of God, have the faith of God. Not have faith in God. Have faith in God is one thing. Have faith in God is that you trust in Him. Have the faith of God. You know what a faith means, right? Faith means having a revelation. Okay? You get it? When you put your faith in God, is that you believe in the heaven, you believe in the revelation of God, you that He is a healer and so on, you have faith in God. But when you have the faith of God, you have the revelation of God given back to you. Now, this is one of the things that, you cannot believe in the Lord Jesus Christ until you have the revelation of God, until you really have the faith of God. Prabhupada one time explained that when a person repent and trust in the Lord, right, have faith in the Lord, he's believing unto salvation. He's not yet saved. A lot of people don't believe in that. You say, how can it be? He repent. He got baptized. He must be a child of God. Oh, not so. Because don't forget, there is the third one. Repent, be baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit. Right? Until you have the Holy Spirit, you don't have the faith of God. Do you get what I'm trying to tell you? That's why a lot of you have been baptized, and many dry sinners go into the water and get baptized and came out a wet sinner. They were not born again. They just follow the herd. Huh? You all know it, right? When every time a herd of cattle is stamping, when the leader runs this way, the rest will follow. It's just the starling birds out there. Throw the head will turn and everybody will turn. And here is Singapore and also the same. You see the crowd move there, you follow. You know, what's happening? Everybody is looking there. Everybody go. Right? So there's an instinct. So what God is saying, what Paul is saying is, have the faith of God. Have the revelation of God. And one of the things is that we need to be very, very patient. And when Paul prayed for Timothy, Timothy wanted to get healed. Every time he go with Paul and he drank the water, the food he eat, he throw up, he got stomach pain, he got diarrhea. I don't know how many times Paul prayed for him. And finally Paul told him, take a little wine for your stomach's sake. The water is just bad, your stomach cannot take it. Why can't God make me a better stomach? Give me a better stomach. Now we know why, we always ask why this, why that. Yeah, I know we all in this life, this physical body is filled with a lot of pain. When a person is young, yeah, like my little grandson, well, he don't feel much pain when you're a little baby, you don't feel much pain growing up. Oh, you know, he cry, and the parents feel for pain because, oh, my little one is suffering. Actually, he doesn't know what. He just pray, crying around him. If you go back, do you remember your childhood when you were a baby, 1 year old, 2 years old, when you're crying like anything? Do you remember? Or you don't remember? Huh? I don't remember what happened to me because my head, my skull, the back of my head has a depression. If I shave it bald, my head, and you find that there is a depression here. Why? Because of how that when I was a year old, my older half-sister, you know, I think she was at that time, maybe 6-7 years old, carried me. And we were living that time in Clinton Road, those some houses. Fell down from the top. She tripped, fell down, all the way. It's as high as the ceiling here, all the way down. Boom, 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 boom. So my father's first wife heard the scream. She went straight to carry her daughter. And my mother heard the scream, also went up and found me at the bottom of the stack. And crying like a baby. Of course I was a baby. No wonder I have a little flat head here. But do I remember? I don't. The only thing I remember, what age that I remember serving, is that when I was in primary one. I can recall, the only time I remember is I ran the race, in the race day, and won the first prize. And what did I get? I still remember to this day. The Chinese checker. I was so proud. Oh, I got the first prize. You see, the thing is, when we grow older, then we feel more pain. Right? Yes, Brother Gandhi. You're getting old and you're getting more painful, right? Are you not? I feel the more pain now here. Sure. But, you know, as much as we care for this body, we get more moving with the Lord and trust the Lord. And prayerfully pray that God will give us His faith, His revelation of what He's going to do. My younger brother called me just now. You know, that he is feeling chilly. His body going through this, you know, cold and chill for 2 days already. But he has no fever. He asked me why. I said, I have no idea. Because it's always this very strange body reaction to a lot of things in his life. So I said, try to come for the communion. You never know that the Lord will meet you in the communion. Do you know that people are healed even to look into the communion, to see the body of Christ? By His stripes I'm healed inside, now I'm out. God, you're working inside out. So let the revelation come. And maybe to understand. Because I'm waiting. We are all waiting for the redemption of this body. For the redemption of our body. We are not waiting for our redemption because we are already redeemed. If you're not redeemed, then you're not a believer. I'm redeemed by love divine. Well, Christ is mine. But we are waiting for the redemption of this body. You see? As well as Brother Abraham said, we don't, how can we have faith for the rapture? How can we be raptured when we don't have faith for the rapture, when we don't even have faith enough faith to be healed? That's why we need to wait upon the Lord and look into Him. Remember how many people that followed Jesus Christ? And people were pushing, and that's what this woman said. If I could only touch the hem of His garment, right? Wow, she was looking to Jesus. And blind Bartimaeus, when he heard that Jude was coming, crying out, "Son of David, Son of David, have mercy on me." They were turning to look to Jesus Christ. He knew who Jesus Christ was. The woman who touched him knew who he was. The Syrophoenician woman who came to the table where Jesus was eating, right, knew who he was. Even though he's Jesus Gentile. That's why faith comes in. That's the faith of God. Each of these knew and had the revelation who this man was. And that's all they call what they have. Yeah, but you can say we knew Jesus.
Right.
But there are many things about Jesus, some that we do not know yet. That's not why we look into the Bible of God's Word. Right? That we may know Him more and more. More about Jesus. Right? That I would know what the song said. More about Him. You know. And I believe God will work it out. And you know, in just closing here now. Do you know the greatest miracles of all? What is the greatest miracles of all? Think about it. What's the greatest miracle that you know? As a Christian, the greatest miracle. Huh? Two great miracles. The first one, the greatest, then followed by the second one. And they are connected. What is the greatest miracle of all? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Right? And what is the second? What is the second? Because He lives. Because He lives. Remember? I can face tomorrow. And this child can face uncertain day because He lives. He affects you. So the second greatest miracle, besides the first, the resurrection of Christ, without the resurrection, there is no life. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection of the life. He that believes in me shall never die." So what is the second greatest miracle? A changed life. A born again life. Because He lives, you live. And you will be resurrected. I'm already spiritually resurrected. Redeemed. And the rest of all the other miracles are second hand, third hand. All are less important. Do you see that? Huh? Lazarus died. And Christ raised him up. Well, he died. Christ resurrected him, and he go back and died again. You understand what I'm saying? Every one of us die. We have to die once. But if you would die now and then you rest to life back in this physical life, with all the corrupt body, you still have to go back and die. Is that alright? No, you're wrong. You know. But the most of all is a redeemed life. The soul being redeemed. Then we wait for the redemption of the body. And while we are waiting for the redemption of the body from now to that time, we walk with the Lord, and He being the healer, look to Him and believe. And I'm always believing. All the years of my life, I hate taking medicine. I don't even want to touch Panadol. Even when I got a headache, a little pain, I refuse even to take it. I suffer to it. Because I keep on trusting the Lord. You know. Help you. And I'm not saying that you don't go see doctors. Go see doctors. It matter what happened. If you give some medicine, you take it. But there's so much a man can do. A doctor is not the one to heal you. He's the one to try to correct the problem. You understand what I'm saying? If you are dehydrated, he says, oh, drink more water. That is correcting the problem. Huh? You've got stone in your kidney, well, he's trying to take it out. If you don't drink water to get it out, he will take it out for you. See? You've got tuberculosis, okay, give you some medicine to kill it, to get rid of it. But the one who heals is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there are many people that went for medicine, they never get healed. That's why sometimes I was said to be a very stubborn person. Because I don't always trust the doctor. Whether it's the Western doctor or the Chinese doctor. Because they are trying to do their best, that's all. But you know what? I'm the great physician. You are the great physician. You need to always look to him more than anybody else. This is our book of life. All that you want to know, psychology, psychiatry, medication, finance, you know, and learn about investment, it's all here. It's a book that pertains to life that we can live abundantly. Amen. Let us go to the book of 1 Corinthians now while we go for our communion. First Corinthians 11. Knowing that in this that I, verse 11, verse 17, 1 Corinthians 17, verse 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. Now in this that I declare to you, I praise you not that you come together, not for the better but for the worse, it's because we come here to be judged by the word of God. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there is division among you, and I partly believe that. For there must be also heresy among you, that they which are approved be manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. You see the word eat here? We're not coming here to eat. You know what I mean? Like literally in the sense of eating and eating and eating and that sort of thing. And that's what Corinthian church were doing. You know. And that's not the way to do it. In those days, of course, when they have communion together, they have it in the house. They will have the meal first, and just as you have the meal first, then they will have the communion. You know. Alright. What have you not? Verse 21. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunk. What? Have you not houses to eat in? And to drink in? Or despise you the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood, this do ye as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let the man examine himself, And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak, sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. For when we are judged, we are chosen of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together, eat, tarry one for another. Understand? We come here as a church, as the body of Christ. Remember one thing. We do not seek for ourselves. We do not seek the comfort for ourselves. We seek the comfort of others. We seek to serve the others. But every one of you here, you have to examine yourself. Do you understand? You have to examine yourself. Many times when the Lord revealed to me certain of the brothers and sisters, the life that you live, the thing that you do, the word that you speak, true or false, lie or facts, you can't hide from God. Because your sin will find you out. And if you are to take this bread tonight and the cup tonight, and if you don't discern the body of Christ, remember, you condemn yourself. You get sick. Because the body of Christ was broken, paid for sin, to redeem our soul, to redeem our body. And that's why it is life. So don't approach the table of the Lord with a bad attitude. Just examine yourself and tell the Lord you're sorry and that you want to do the right things if you're not doing right. Amen. Alright. So let us pray for this bread. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ, our Lord. We remember, Lord, what your word teaches us, Lord. And remember that night at the Passover table, the passions of our Lord began. Darkness seemed to be creeping up upon him, and he was very sorrow unto death. And he builds up, Lord, when he went into Gethsemane, into that garden, the weight of sins of the world that he's going to carry seemed too heavy for him. The Father, he asked you to remove it if it was possible. Oh, we know, Father, all thy word must be fulfilled. And how beautiful it is when we see how the Lord Jesus, after washing the disciples' feet, went back to the table and began to minister unto the disciples. Whereupon he said, one of you will betray me. And Judas Iscariot was pointed out. And the Lord told him to go, whatever you have to do, do it quickly. Then he took the bread and he prayed and he broke it. And he said to the disciple, take it, eat it, for this is my body, given for the remission of sin. Father, we thank you. When you partake of this, Father, help us to remember this day till he comes. Our life, Father, that is in Christ Jesus, stands before you, Father. Let our life so shine before men that he may see the work of God in our life. So, Father, Lord, as you partake of this, bless it, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Jimmy, Brother Henry. Just hold this and we pray for the cup. Heavenly Father, they say, no, Lord, about this cup. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, bless it and say that this is covered in his blood for the remission of sin. And he gave it to the disciples and told them to drink it. And Father, Lord, we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. For without the shedding of his blood, Father, there will be no remission of our sin. And because what he did for us, our sins are gone. Our sins are gone. We thank you, Father, for that. We ask the Lord now you bless. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's prepare. praise the Lord. Take the name of Jesus with you. The last stanza and the chorus.
The name of Jesus Christ.
Blessed be thy name, Lord. Blessed be thy name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, bless us as we leave this place. Be with us, Lord, as on our way home. Watch over us, Lord, and bring us back together on Friday and on Sunday as well, Father. We commit the rest of the week to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless.